Our thoughts and prayers are with the families who have lost loved ones and those who are in the hospital recovering from another mass shooting, this one in New Mexico. And thus we see the need for the gospel to be proclaimed more and more. Our country is getting away from God. The respect for the Word of God is very much lacking, is it not? And so the subject for our study this morning is a great need for gospel meetings. As this being the last day of our gospel meeting with Brother Ben Vick from the Shelbyville Road congregation, and although I'm recording this ahead of time before the meeting started, and if the Lord tarries in His coming, I'm sure that Brother Ben Vick did an outstanding job on Friday and Saturday night. But we would like to have as many as possible come and hear the gospel today. If you're able to do so, we would really appreciate you being with us and hearing the Word of God proclaimed by a faithful gospel preacher. So I think it would be good for our study this morning to emphasize the great need for gospel meetings. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. We all should know that stands for Preparing for Eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. And so we want to take this opportunity, especially with our gospel meeting going on, to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together to study the precious Word of God in our Bible classes. But this morning, Brother Ben will be speaking, Lord willing, at the 9:30 hour, which is normally when we meet in the auditorium anyway for our Bible class. And then at 10:30, the worship service is to begin in another sermon from Brother Ben. And then following that service, we're planning a delicious potluck lunch. You're invited certainly to that. And following the potluck lunch at 1 p.m., the final sermon of the gospel meeting to close it out. We sure hope you will come. And something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. We're always glad to answer your Bible questions. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, this morning, let's study together the great need for gospel meetings, and of course, for evangelism in general. But let's start out our study with this. With God's help, and all of us working together here at Morgan Street, our meeting can be a great success. And I believe it already has been, even though I'm speaking before Friday and Saturday night. You understand what I'm saying. So let's all keep that in mind for other gospel meetings as well. Now, let's discuss the great need for gospel meetings. Why should we have a gospel meeting? Well, there are excellent reasons. Excuse me, let me start out with this one. Because sin flourishes. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes all of us that are accountable, does it not? 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we certainly should know that. Number two, why should we have a gospel meeting? Because Satan does not like it when the gospel is preached. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, Jesus said, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, that's a reason to have a gospel meeting, is it not? Number three, and this surely should get our attention, because God is glorified when the gospel is preached. Satan doesn't like it. No, sir. But God is glorified when the gospel is preached. Revelation 1:5-6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Well, that's a reference to baptism, isn't it? And hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Yes, sir. Notice Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 14:7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations of the waters. Reason number four, why we should have gospel meetings? Because the church is edified. Well, we would like to see the lost come to the service and learn the truth and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. It's getting harder and harder to get people from the community to come to gospel meetings. But even if they do not, which we hope they will, still the church is being edified. Ephesians 4:11-12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Well, we don't have apostles and prophets in the church today, but we have evangelists, and we have and some pastors, that would be elders, and teachers. We sure have those, do we not? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There it is. We need to be edified, and a gospel meeting sure helps that. Notice verse 16, still in Ephesians 4. From whom the whole body fittedly joined together, that's the church, the spiritual body of Christ, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, that's every member, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Reason number five, why we need to have gospel meetings, and that is because the church is commanded to evangelize the world. And even though it's getting more difficult to get people from the community to attend, that doesn't mean that we can quit. Give up? No, sir. We're under the Great Commission. Notice Matthew 28. In verse 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Having that authority, then he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that is, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the Great Commission, isn't it? And Mark, of course, 16:15-16, Jesus said unto them, if Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's the commission that the apostles were given when Christ had resurrected from the grave before he ascended to heaven. Now they were to teach others to do likewise. They're no longer with us today. So if the church does not carry the gospel of Christ to the lost, who will? No one is the answer. So we have a responsibility as members of the church. Okay. Now, having proved that we need gospel meetings, there's a great need for them, and lectureships, and of course, our regular services, and other opportunities that we have Bible studies one-on-one. But notice the daily evangelism in the early church. I want us to look at, here in the book of Acts, some examples of daily evangelism, and that is in the early church. We'll start with Acts 2, the day the church began, there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Notice verses 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They were unified, weren't they? And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Note that, had need. Verse 46, and they continuing daily, let's emphasize that, daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they were in the temple how often? Not just on Sunday, but daily. Yes, and people were being converted on a daily basis, verse 47. Well, what would happen? What would have happened, that is to say, if the early church believed you only needed to meet one time a week? Well, we don't want to think about that, do we? Some congregations are doing just that, sad to say. But they were busy, praising God for the growth of the church, verse 47. What about us today? Are we interested in lost souls? Now, let's go over here to Acts chapter 8, and we'll notice with the apostles here are staying in Jerusalem. You see, there was persecution, great persecution against the church there in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except for the apostles. They stayed there in Jerusalem. There wasn't much of a threat with all the brethren gone. And so you see, verses 4 and 5, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Well, this is Christians doing what they're supposed to do, even though they're moved away from their homes. Well, what would happen today if the church was scattered abroad? We need to think about that. Philip, he could have said, well, I'm not going down to Samaria and associate with those folks. No, he didn't do that, did he? He wasn't prejudiced. Yes, this was folks of a mixed race. But he cared for their lost souls. That's clear, isn't it, as you study chapter 8? And then he met with the Ethiopian eunuch after teaching a city. Well, God is no respecter of persons. In Acts 10:35, we need to understand that, and we must not be either, and preach the gospel to everyone, regardless of race and color and so forth, culture, whatever. Notice now chapter 11. Let's move right on to chapter 11. starting with verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, had a spiritual gift, no doubt, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Barnabas was sent forth and supported as a missionary by the church in Jerusalem. And notice that he exhorted the brethren in Antioch to do what? Cleave to the Lord. Now, the question for each one of us, have we purposed our hearts to cleave to the Lord? Well, we should. If we have not, we need to start right now. Barnabas was a good, faithful man. He taught many people the truth and worked with the Apostle Paul when other brethren were reluctant to do so. As you see here, verses 24 through 26, chapter 9, verse 27. But let's go on and turn over now to chapter 13, still in the book of Acts. And we'll notice missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, were sent out by the Antioch congregation. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was also called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, and which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They were called for that work. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they were to spread the gospel of Christ first to the Jews, as they normally would, and then to the Gentiles. What if only a few brethren were willing to help support the Lord's work in Antioch? That would have been disastrous. Well, the church today must send out sound brethren to go forth and teach and preach the precious gospel of Christ. We need workers, and producing in the church, in the congregations of the Lord's church today, future preachers and elders and deacons, teachers, future wives of all these leaders in the church. Of course, the women can teach the children in ladies' class, but they're not to usurp the authority over the man, as the scriptures teach. Now, I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and notice the example here with the brethren in Thessalonica. And we'll start with verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The lifestyle that they led, the apostles, Paul's suffering and so forth. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples, or examples would be the word there, to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Notice verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Imagine that. They had been involved in idolatry, but they gave it up. They gave it up to serve God, the true God, not some false object that they were worshiping, representing some false deity that didn't exist. And how many people today worship idols? Maybe it's not made out of wood and gold and silver and so forth, but it's someone that they idolize. Or, of course, some idolize money, idolize sex, whatever it is that gets in the way of putting God first. So the point is, turn away from idolatry. Turn to God like they did. They were truly converted to Christ. Now, the point here that we need to emphasize is they did not keep the gospel to themselves after they received the truth. They were never ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We must never be either. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Started with the Jews, but then, of course, it moved to the Gentiles, as Peter and six other Christians that were former Jews went to the house of Cornelius. He had had his family and friends gathered together because he wanted to hear the truth. And they all obeyed the gospel. So that was when these witnesses that were with Peter and Peter himself realized God is no respecter of persons. He wants all people to be saved. Of course he does. Jesus came into the world in the flesh to die for sinners, whether it's Jew or Gentile. John 3:16, we all should know. But here in Thessalonica, these brethren were involved in good works, which was being reported throughout the brotherhood where Paul was traveling. So we all need to faithfully receive the Word of God and make the proper application to ourselves. Notice chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectively worketh also in you that believe." Does the word of God effectively work in us? Well, we better be able to say yes. If we're not able to, then we better do something about it. James 1:21-22, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, a question for all of us. What is more important than saving souls? Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke 19:10. Even if we were to gain all the earth's treasures, it would not be worth anything on the day of judgment. It wouldn't be ours, would it? But our soul will either be saved or lost on that great day. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26, Jesus said. So this is something we need to take a hard look at. What does my soul mean to me? What does my actions say? Am I serving the Lord, or am I serving Satan? No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other. Which is it? Are we serving God as we should? Are we attending faithfully the services, studying daily the Word of God, seeking the lost as we have opportunity to share the precious gospel? Well, now, let me ask this question. What if every member supports our gospel meeting the way I do? You see, if we're not even attending, imagine if all the rest of the members were in the same category as that. Well, we can see the meeting would be a disaster, wouldn't it? If no one attended, imagine that. A great gospel preacher comes to share his knowledge of the truth and there's no one to hear it. Well, think about, what am I doing in support of gospel meetings? We've seen how there is a great need for gospel meetings. There's a great need to evangelize and get out and do the work that we should be doing. Maybe we can turn this country around, as there's no maybe at all about it, if people will accept the truth. We'll turn this world upside down with the gospel of Christ. But at this time, if there is anyone listening today who has not obeyed the gospel, well, come to the meeting and ask questions after the service if need be. Study. We'll study together. And here's what one must do to obey the gospel of Christ, and that is hear the truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. That's where it starts, with the word of God. We've got to hear the truth. And the next step is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins. John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now the next step after believing, and that motivates us, does it not, to repent, having a godly sorrow, for all sin is against God. And once we are seeing that, we understand that makes us sorrowful. But it's a godly sorrow. We're not going to have worldly sorrow like Judas. He went out and hung himself instead of going to his Lord and get forgiveness. So we're going to change our will, our way of life. We're going to go in a new direction, doing the will of God, as we see in Acts 17:30. Repentance is necessary. Then the good confession is to be made, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now that's done unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Having confessed Christ before others, we're ready to be immersed. Why immersion? Because it's a burial. We're going to go under the water to contact the precious blood of Christ, symbolically, of course. But you see, this is what washes away our sins, as Ananias told Saul at that time, Paul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, that is, submitting to the authority of Christ. And thus, when we go down under the water, we're the old sinful person. When we come up out of the water, the blood of Christ has cleansed us. We're receiving forgiveness of sins. Now we're walking in newness of life. And the Lord adds us to his body, the true church. We saw that in Acts 2:47. Remember? We're not joining a church. We're added to the true church, the church of Christ. It's his body, and he died for the church. The purchase price, his precious blood. It should have his name. And we should understand that. Now, once we're saved, we need to add to Christian graces, continually growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you done that? If not, today is the day. And we want to thank you so very much for listening today.